Father, help us to learn this message this morning. Help us to learn that strengthening our faith is good, but Father, strengthening our faith often means that we need to be led into action, that we need to be led into deeds of service that are performed on behalf of others. Father, I pray that you will encourage us this morning. I pray that you will teach us and instruct us. And Father, if there are those of us who have stalled out in our faith, help us to see the deeds around us that we can do that will be glorifying to you and that will be strengthening to us so that our faith can grow stronger and we can have a greater trust in you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. I tell a lot of stories about growing up and how when I was younger, I understood that the role of faith was to provide answers. The role of faith was to strengthen our understanding of the Bible and what God was doing in the Bible. And that's good, but there's a problem when we think that all faith is about is defending itself. The problem is that we can spend a lot of time in study, which is good, but when we spend so much time in study, sometimes it doesn't leave enough time for the works that need to come out of that knowledge. See, there's a reason that, as James is talking here, that he's talking about faith and not knowledge. In the Bible, most of the time, we read the word faith, and because Paul uses it just slightly differently than James does, we have a difficulty understanding James sometimes. But when we think that faith is about understanding and protecting the right doctrines and acquiring the right knowledge, may I suggest that we're only halfway towards understanding what faith is? That's a start. Certainly, we need to know what to believe. But faith is not only about what to believe, it's also how to believe. And as we acquire that knowledge about what to believe, James tells us that the only way we truly understand what we think we understand is if we see it working itself out in action. That's why he says faith without deeds is useless. Belief or faith without deeds is like this image behind me in that it's sitting there and it's solid and it's strong, but it's about to be washed away. Because faith without deeds is really no faith at all. It's a faith that has stalled out. True faith, real faith, James says, accompanies itself with action. And if there's no action, James says, you have a dead faith. A dead faith. I don't know if we've read that before or understood that, but it's kind of like this. You know, something that has the form, but no vitality to it. You know, we can create a list of doctrines we have to believe and knowledge that we have to acquire, and it can be like this balloon, but without that air inside of it, supporting it, making it a balloon that we would want to have around a party or that a child would want to play with, without that vitality to it, it's empty. It's useless. It's dead. And that's what James is trying to get at here. Faith without deeds is no faith at all. It's like an empty, deflated balloon. Sure, there's something there, but it's missing its fullest potential. It's missing out on what it really could be. So a faith that is considered righteous is a faith that has belief combined with deeds for others. This is what James is talking about here. He says, faith without deeds is dead. See, we can build what we think is a really strong faith. And we can build what looks like a really strong church on the basis of our understanding of what makes up a really strong faith. But when we build things on the premise that faith can exist without action, that faith can exist without deeds of love and service for others, we end up creating something that's false. And in the words of James, it's dead. This is why he gives two examples. He gives the example of Abraham. And he says, Abraham, Scripture tells us, was considered righteous by God. But how was Abraham considered righteous? James fills in the gaps for us. He doesn't just throw a scripture out there, but he tells us how Abraham was considered righteous. Abraham, in fact, I'm just going to read scripture here at this point, just to be crystal clear about what's going on. He says, in verse 21, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did? And then in verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And see, because of the misunderstandings, we have to talk about this in a way that doesn't always make sense, because in the Bible, faith and action are the same thing. But we have to talk about it like, and describe it like, faith accompanied by action. But they're not two separate things. They're the same thing. So we have trouble communicating it sometimes, even as James writes here. But what he's saying is faith without deeds is a dead faith. And that's what we need to focus on. Faith without deeds is a dead faith. It's gone. It's empty. There's nothing to it. Further, there was another person that James points to. And he says, Rahab. And then he kind of throws in this aside just to remind us of who Rahab was. And I tried to call attention to that during my reading. But look at how James says it in verse 25. He says, in the same way, he's calling back to Abraham. He's calling back to the one that we all know was a great man of faith who did everything that God wanted him to do, that man, Abraham. In the same way, Rahab was considered righteous. Let me go back. Rahab, the prostitute, was considered righteous by what she did. See, Rahab, the prostitute, was not considered righteous in a sense of having attained ritual purity, which is what we want sometimes. But Rahab, the prostitute, was considered righteous because of what she did, because of the actions that she performed in saving the spies, in furthering God's kingdom, in furthering God's will. She acted on behalf of God, and that's why she was considered righteous. See, sometimes we say that we want to honor God by keeping his commands, and that's why we spend so much time learning what God's commands are, and that's good. But the question is, which commands are we trying to honor God by keeping? Sometimes we create a command where they don't really exist because we're looking for some way of validating our study, of validating the knowledge that we have. And we spend more time studying and talking about and arguing about commands than we actually spend time in keeping commands. Sometimes we still assume that above all else, God wants the ritual purity of church attendance, personal rather than corporate spiritual disciplines, and knowledge that we can acquire only through spending much time in the Word. But what God really wants, according to James, is for us to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love God. And to have that kind of faith requires action. To have that kind of faith helps us to be friends with God. You see how he describes Abraham here? Abraham, in verse 22, you see that Abraham's faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. How do we become friends with God? By having a faith that lives itself out in action. That's what Abraham had. And that's what we want. We want to have that kind of an act of faith. So look at your own life. Consider your life. When do people come and express a need to you? Because James, you know, we can't read the end of chapter 2 apart from the beginning. And when James begins this section of his letter by talking about showing favoritism, and then he jumps into saying, if you really keep the law found in Scripture about loving your neighbor, if you really keep that law, then you're doing great. That bleeds into this section. It overlaps. That's how we understand what faith accompanied by action is. It's a faith that understands that God wants us above all else to love Him and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we have deeds of love and service that extend outward from that, that's what God wants. That's how we become God's friend. So when people express a need to you, what do you do when that happens? Are you like the one who says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, because I've got a Bible study to get to? Or are we the ones that will do based on our faith and become a friend of God through the actions that we commit that are based on and grow out of the faith that we profess? See, the bottom line is, all we have in life is each other. The people that God has given to us, that are around us every day and here on Sundays, the believers that we have. And we honor God when we make our faith public around them. See, sometimes we think, nobody wants to hear what I have to say about this. I don't want to get involved in their lives, and we keep our faith private. But James calls us to make our faith public, not by standing on a street corner and yelling and screaming about all the people around us going straight to hell, but he calls us to love others, to make our faith public by seeing the people who are around us and performing deeds of love and service for them, for others. This is how we teach others about God. Now imagine if we had this understanding. Imagine if we all did. Imagine what a church would be like where all the members, every single one of us, not just 25% of us, not 50, not 70, not 95, imagine 100% of us doing our faith, looking around us, seeing the needs that exist, seeing what we can do to serve another person in God's name, to love them as though they were ourselves. As James calls us to, the law that we're called to keep is to love our neighbor just as we love ourselves. And imagine if we took that self-love and focused it outward on others. What would this look like? How would things be different? What part would you play in this? And that's some questions that cut to the heart of what James is getting at here. We all have a basis of knowledge within us. That's the beginning of our faith. But a true knowledge, a true understanding, leads us forward past all that into a deeper faith. And the deeper we go, the more we see that God is calling us to love others. Imagine if we were doing that. Imagine what it would look like. Imagine what would be different. Imagine how you would be different. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message this morning. I pray that you will help us to understand it, that you will help us to grow in faith. Father, knowing that growing in faith will challenge us to grow outward as well in our love for others and in our service to them, all done in your name. We thank you that Jesus left us this example, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen.